at my friend's house in the Adirondacks. And I get in that hammock and I'm good. It doesn't matter what else is going on. I'm at peace. I'm in my safe, happy place. It's amazing. So I wanted you guys to take a minute and go to your favorite place, wherever you feel most relaxed, most restored, most refreshed. You have 15 seconds.
I ask for the Lord, it's only like 7 minutes, all in the house of the Lord, all the days of our life.
say that sometimes, and help me out on this, but sometimes getting time with God seems like one more thing we have to do.
Yeah.
Right? One more thing on the checklist. One more responsibility to take care of in order to maintain the relationship we have with God. Mm-hmm. Is that true for anybody else in here?
Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes I feel this way.
Yeah.
I can put a lot of pressure on myself in this time with God. So what are some expectations we put on ourselves that is this time with God that we're supposed to have every day?
I mean, I guess to have like your own time of prayer, and it's almost like having a conversation with God, so you know you can't really like listen with your best friend. Your mom can't really go there without talking to her. It's just the same with God, like you have to at least talk to him.
Right, so you kind of feel obligated, this sort of obligation to talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
To like read your Bible.
So you feel obligated to read your Bible.
Yep. Like for me, with my like when I have my time with God and stuff, and like if I'm reading and I don't like it doesn't pertain to me, or like if it's not like long, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I didn't have a good quiet time today.
Yeah.
Like it has to be a certain time for me. Yeah. It has to impact me in some way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You raising your hand? Raising your hair.
Yeah. Yeah. But like if I didn't like grow or just get something out of it.
Yeah, I think I was going to say something similar. Like, sometimes I feel like my quiet time needs to be about a sin that I'm working on rather than just like discovering more about God. Like, if I'm not doing anything, all I need to be able to do on this, rather than just explore who God is.
Awesome. Anybody else? Okay. I think we feel this pressure to connect, this pressure to change, to feel inspired, to feel different. It's got to be a certain length. And it really can feel burdensome. But I think we need to give thought to how we look at this time, and that it's not just time to kind of work on ourselves. Can somebody turn to Matthew 11, verse 28? I think the other thing you've got to consider about this time is that a lot of those things that you guys talked about, a lot of them are good things. It's good to look at what we need to grow in. It's good to look at how we can love God more or get to know him better. But at the same time, we can be pressured and think about things that the enemy is telling us, and we can agree with him. And we've got to be careful not to do that. Does anybody have Matthew 11, verse 28?
It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Weary and burdened? Anybody? But Jesus says, come to him. And he's going to give us what? Say it with me.
Rest.
All right, no. Say it again.
Rest.
I want everybody to say,
rest.
Isn't that what we're talking about? We need?
Yes,
we feel like we're tired. We're going here, there, doing this, doing that. We've got so much on our plates. But I tell you what, we don't act like this. In verse 29, he says, you can find rest for your soul. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. If we believe that, then getting time with him would be what?
Easy.
A joy. If we really thought, I'm going to get some time with God, I'm going to be good, it would be awesome. And we know that from the scriptures, and yet we believe these other lies that we hear, like, oh, you've got to change everything. I mean, of course, your times with God should result in your changing, but I believe that comes from understanding more and more how much he loves us.
Yeah.
When you get that he loves you, you're like, I don't really want to be prideful. You know, I want to change for him. These thoughts that we have contradict the word. So what does that tell us about those thoughts? Where did they come from?
Satan.
They come from the enemy. Thank you. So what I wanted to share with you guys is that when I was a young disciple, I felt guilty a lot. Because my times with God could be inconsistent. No matter how long I read, I felt like it wasn't long enough. I felt like my times with God weren't all that they should be. But God doesn't want us to get time with him just so he can show us what to change or what we're doing wrong. He wants time with us because he loves us.
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys something. When my kids wake up in the morning, if I'm still home, they're coming to find me. Abby, 19-year-old girl over here, just go ahead and stand up real quick.
No, wait, come here. Come out. I want you guys to see this. Really? Okay, she passed me height-wise a long time ago. She's usually climbing onto me. Mommy, 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 mommy.
Thank you, y'all.
Yes. Mrs. Wells, thank you for agreeing. The reason why I say this is she wants to be reminded that I love her. Yeah. I told her that last night before she went to bed, but she's coming to me like, do you love me? I love you, Mom. You know, that's what our time with God is like. He's looking for us. We wake up and he's like, where's my child? Right? That's how I am. If I wake up and I don't hear rustling and I'm like, did she come home? You know, like, I know when she came home last night, but I have to remember, you know, this night she's spending the night out or whatever, because I'm checking in with her. I want her to know I love her. And God's the same way. When we wake up, he wants us to find him because he wants us to feel this love that he has for us. Now I'm going to really move fast because I've used up so much time. We're going to go to the Psalms, and you guys can write these down. Psalm 19, 7, verse A, part A says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Verse 10, they are more precious than gold. We don't believe that. Do we? It's in the Bible, so we should. It's true, but we don't act like that. If we acted like that, we would be reading our Bibles a lot more than we are. Yeah. And that goes for all of us. I'm sharing this with all of us. I can still struggle with this. I still have to be reminded of this. Verse 10 goes on to say, they are sweeter than honey from the comb. Verse 11, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Psalm 23. I'll just skip to verse 3. He restores my soul. Amen. 27 verse 8. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Psalm 28 verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Psalm 31, 21. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. Do you ever feel besieged at work? Mm. Right? In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. I wanted you guys now to go back and think about that question that we talked about. How do you measure the success of your day? Is it by, did I connect with God today? And I want you guys to take the pressure off. So I'm going to go into some practicals. I'm going to encourage you to be deliberate about getting time with him. And figure out what works for you. For years, I commuted to work an hour and a half each way, two train rides and a short car ride. On the way into work, I would read, and then I would text a quick scripture. On the way home, I would call friends to pray with. Now that I drive basically the whole time, I use my Bluetooth in my car to pray and listen to the Bible through an app and listen to worship songs from our services. These things help me to connect with God. So that's a practical. The first part is try to be deliberate about getting time with him daily. And the second part of that is figure out what works for you. Another practical, take the pressure off. This is time that you can be reminded of his love for you, not to beat yourself up. His love for you is unconditional. So practical number three is take the pressure off. What was that to?
Perfect.
All right. The next one is find the scriptures that remind you that his love for you is unconditional. Yes, I said that before. I'm going to say it again. His love for you is unconditional. Write them on index cards and keep them with you. The last one is to get a prayer buddy. You don't have to pray every day together, but you would do well to have somebody who knows you this way. We really need each other. Yeah. Carla's going to come up and share, and then I have some questions at the end for all of us.
Come on, Carla.
Okay. thinking.
Hey, man, for God. I feel like I want to pray, so I'll just give me 2 seconds, okay? When I thought about tonight, being able to talk to you all and share, I asked God, what am I supposed to be talking about? There's many, many things I can tell you, right? As Allison and I spoke, and then it was talking about perseverance, the thing that just kept coming back to me over the past few days and things that I've been working on is understanding God's grace, which, who knows what grace is? I know you have a definition. What is grace? It's what you say before you eat. What is grace? Anybody want to give me a definition? Anybody think they have a definition? We always hear that, right? What does that mean, though? Because, like, I heard that. I've been a disciple almost 25 years. I know it's something that I don't deserve. There's a lot of things I don't deserve. I don't deserve to not sit down on the train. You know, I don't deserve to have the house that I live in. There's a lot of things, if you ask me, I don't deserve it. So it really doesn't make that connection, especially when I'm talking with God. So what I'm going to talk about tonight, I hope it makes sense. So it's grace. It's first thing, if I was able to talk to myself when I was 20, that was one of the questions, right? I wasn't a disciple. I would look at myself now and I'd be like, you know what? I need to relax. Because I was by myself. I was not in a family. I did not have a mom to like go to. I did not have a dad that I could run to. I didn't have my siblings. I was in the military. I was by myself, 3,000 miles away from where I was born. I was living on my own. I had had a child already. I was alone, a female in the military, living off base by myself, trying to go to college, trying to live this life that I didn't understand anything. So if I was to look at myself now, I'd say, you know what? Look up, there's God, because he was there. I look back and I see he was there. And I would tell myself, relax. You don't have to do it all perfectly and by yourself. That's the thing I would say. And you know what would help me is to know that God's grace is there. I don't have the full definition. I can't tell it to you so you can walk away out of here tonight and go, yeah, I got God's grace and I understand. What I can tell you is, it's important. It's in Hebrews 12:15. I'm going to jump to some fast words. And it said, you became disciples for a reason. All right? You understood something. Whether you were born in the church or somebody met you, when you studied the Bible, you understood there was something different about that God is calling you out.
Yeah.
All right? I know that's what happened for me. When I studied the Bible, it was not about the people. It was about the word that just started coming alive. And I was already in the church. I already was in a Catholic church, standing up every Sunday and helping with the service. I wasn't just in the pew. I just wanted so much to be whatever God wanted me to be, not even knowing that that's what I was doing. But then God called me out and let me study the Bible. And then I found out some things. And then I stayed. And I said when they were baptizing me, I'm going to do it today. And if it's not what they say it is tomorrow, I'm leaving. And I've been here 25 years. But in 12:15, it says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. That no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. What you want to stick on, don't miss the grace of God. That is key to being a disciple. There is no, you can't do anything right. I'm full of sin. I am full of sin as I stand before you right now. And I'm not a perfect, if I'm perfect in anything, it might be a perfect sinner. But even that's not true because there's God.
Yeah.
And he takes that away. That's what the grace is.
Yeah.
Without him, I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it would be measured. I just don't want to know that that's what I am.
Yeah.
With him, I get an opportunity. When Allison said you wake up in the morning, first thing I do is think about he won't be up. Mm-hmm. The next thing I think about, there's a reason why.
Yeah.
The third thing I think about is the comforts. Is it warm? Is it cold? Do I feel like getting up? That's the third thing. Then I think about, you know, my kids and whatever else is going on. And I find that I'm praying. Even though I haven't gotten out of bed yet, I'm talking to God. And that's a practical. So I don't have it at the end. I'm going to throw them in the middle, and you're going to write it down. It's to practice the presence of God. Because you know why you became a disciple? Another practical is to remember who you are. It's in 1 Peter 2:9, right? Remember who you are, because if you wake up and God gave you another day, there's a reason. It's not about you. God made you a disciple. He called you out before you even knew who he was, before you even understood whether you were in this church by birth or not. Before you understood anything, you know you were a sinner when God called you out. And then you saw the difference and you decided, I'm going to be a disciple. But it really wasn't your choice. God called you out and he loved you enough. That is grace.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
When you wake up in the morning, there's your practical.
Wow.
Now when you look at 1 Peter 2:9, are you there? Is somebody there? You want to read it? That looks nice and loud.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, for a special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
And 10.
Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
There's a reason for it. Now you remember that and write that down and put it right above your bed on the ceiling or something. Remember who you are. Every day is not the same. You got struggles. I got struggles. We got real problems going on. Whether it's school, your work, lack of money, the job, family, relationships, whatever it is, remember who you are. Because all of this is not overcome like sprinkle, sprinkle, God fix it. In 25 years as a disciple, he has grown me, and we have to go through what we have to go through so we can learn. In Hebrews 12, talks about enduring hardship. Endure hardship. Okay, if you were tied up being whipped, you have to endure it. But life is hard.
Yep.
You have to endure it, and enduring it, what do you think that means? Just walk around and say, okay, you know, you can talk about it, or you know, you got through the day, and it's over. You have to read your Bible so you can know. If you look at Ephesians 6:12, and I don't have my phone so I can't flip it to you real fast, but you write it down. It talks about the invisible battle that we're in. Remember who you are. You're on the side of God is on your side.
Yeah.
Remember who you are, because it's not about just getting good grades. I've worked on Wall Street for 19 years, and I'm leaving Wall Street. Okay, watch your mouth. I don't care about the things that Wall Street brings.
Mm-hmm.
I am good with the money that I make and all the things that God allowed me to experience and have and achieve. But then when you have to weigh it, it's time for me to leave. I'm not afraid about it, and God has made it clear. And so, amen. I won't be working on Wall Street, I hope, in a couple of months. I have to remember who I am. I'm about God's business.
Yes.
I have shared my faith there. I have had Bible studies there. I think I converted one person and they fell away. I mean, there's a story to tell. It's 19 years over there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not where I'm at anymore.
Yeah.
He's taking me in another direction. The battle is real.
Yeah.
When you look at Ephesians, it's an invisible war. And it's not a war like you see on TV. They're just fighting over us with spears and fire. Coming after your hearts.
Yeah.
And they want to take you out so that whoever you might have saved, because you're already saved, it's the people that you're going to save.
Yeah.
That's what Satan doesn't want. I mean, the more you can keep out, the better, right?
Yeah.
For me, it was my kids. If I didn't stay faithful, not just to save them, but to trust in God's word, to be a living example of what the Bible says, that we're living sacrifices. Everything is about God. In Romans 8, it talks about God works for the good of those who love him.
Mm-hmm.
If we are just trying, I cannot be a perfect person. I know I can't because I try. I still try.
Yeah.
And then I have to humbly cry that I cannot and then accept the grace that God said, that's okay. It's fine. You're just doing what you can do, and that's exactly what I need for you to do.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to embrace. That's your other practice. Accept who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, humbly, you're nobody. But if you look at 1 Peter, you're somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're somebody that's bigger than your grades, bigger than whatever program you're in, bigger than whatever car. I might have had 8 cars in my life. I've had 4 houses. I only can live in one.
Mm-hmm.
And when I die, I can guarantee you, because my grandmother's a passed away, their houses still stand. Those things will still be here.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. Mm-hmm. Whatever my grandmother's left behind, that's the thing. It's not those other people in those houses. But I remember how to make coping the rice and beans.
Yeah.
I remember how to love, because that's what, so Jesus is teaching us how to love.
Yeah.
And in everything you do, when you wake up and breathe and get those slippers on and do whatever you do right after that, if you don't read your Bible or you don't want to, okay. I have 7 kids. There were so many things they didn't want to do when I told them to do it. But I love them anyway. But it's to your detriment. It's to your benefit. You're going to grow in Christ or you're going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not reading your Bible, you're going to grow so slow. And you're going to be so stunted. And in Hebrews, I think I'll read it. It says, it's Hebrews 5. You can't stay on the milk. You can't just look for a scripture about being mad or being angry or how do I work and get along with my friends. You have to get on solid food. You, when you get up and read your Bible and you don't know what to read, read a book in the Bible.
Yeah.
Start a book. Read Colossians. Read Philippians. Read it. And if you don't read the whole thing, read a passage and go back to it the next day. And get off of yourself and get on to God.
Come on.
Get on to what God is trying to teach you, because he's got a plan. He didn't just love you and let you be a disciple just so you can still just stress over your life.
Yeah.
He gave you a purpose. Now, the things that you do within that purpose, amen for you. You should be praying, because if you're not and you're not reading, you know you're not being very effective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it says in Timothy. You know, you got to read so you can be corrected, trained, rebuked, all that good stuff, so you're equipped for every good work. You're going to meet somebody that's going to have something different from you, and how are you going to help them if you're not really living this life? You don't get to do it tomorrow, because tomorrow's not promised.
Mm.
You have to live today like today is the day. Like, if you want to die, if I die tomorrow, I'm telling you right now, y'all say something that I was very happy, that I'm very content knowing that God loved me, that I know I did my best. When I go, I may have a smile if I ain't in some bad car accident, because I'm looking to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I live. That's how we live. That's what God promises. That's the practical. That's the motivation. So school is good, and I'm not downplaying it, because I had to go there. I have a master's. I have a bachelor's. I have a master's. I have a couple of certificates and all kinds of good stuff. None of that really matters. If I can get all of that and I can't read this, if you can go to school and you can study for exams and you can't read this,
come on, Carla.
You can ride the bus and you can take a nap, but you can't read this. Some of my quiet times were actually the devos that I had with my kids. Yeah, because I couldn't get up and read in the morning because I struggled. I was tired. And I get it. I'm not downplaying none of that. But you gotta, I suggest strongly that you persevere and you make that a real word. Write that down as a practical. That's a real word. It's not, I'm trying to persevere.
Mm.
You persevere, you do it because you can. Because if you couldn't, he wouldn't have gave you ears that hear and eyes that see. There's a reason why God made you a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
You have to seek that out. And you're not going to figure it out, because our human nature is always looking for what's wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I sit down and I talk about it, you know, actually, I don't do this anymore. I used to say, you know, I'm a person who has a hard time. I used to keep defining myself by these negativities. Because I forgot who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I know who I am today. I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am a sinner, but I know who I am because of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember who you are. And you never let it be like this. It's not a little bit. It's like this. If I see any of you anywhere, just like Jesus did when they said your mother and brothers are outside, and he's like, who are my mothers and brothers? I see you above everybody except Christ, because we're related to the word of Christ. That's a big deal. And I expect you to grow in that and to know that. If you don't read your Bibles, then when I'm talking to you, you're just looking at me like, she's nice. you know, I want y'all to talk back to me with some real meat. Because when you talk to me, I can hear. And you need to hear me. And we need to hear each other so we can build each other up. We got to get past the milk. And I'm not saying that you're not. You know, I'm not saying that you're not there, because I appreciate and respect you all. But I'm just saying that if you don't die tomorrow, and say you all know you're going to live to be 90, ain't that a long time to try to be developing into what God wants you to be?
Yeah.
You can just lay there and amen. I've done it. I've spent a day, you know, some people binge. Sometimes I just lay with the Bible right here because I don't even know what to do. But that is submissive, and that is asking God. Psalm 46:10, you still know that I'm God? You got to do that. In the beginning of 46:1, it talks about he's our refuge in times of trouble. An ever-present help in times of trouble. You have to remember these things. You have to read your Bible so you can know where to go, because if you don't know, when you have it in you, God brings it back out and talks to you. He helps you. That's what he's done for me. And I just know that that's what's true. In Genesis 4:7, it says, now the first part sounds a little condemning, but the second part is the one that I always pay attention to. Sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must master it. God doesn't say it's going to get you. God doesn't say you can't overcome it. He said you must master it. And the way you master it, I look at Hebrews again and say, you got to get off the mat. Fight, it's not wrestling. No. It's fighting.
Yes.
You're a warrior. That's what I say. And that's what God said. You're a warrior. You know who you are. Remember who you are. Wake up and remember. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday or last night. Even if you didn't sleep. I don't sleep well all the time. If I tell you all these things that they look like they're bad things, they probably are. But there's so much good things because God is just good. Mm-hmm. And you won't know it if you don't read the Bible. Proverbs 24:16 says, though a righteous man falls seven times. You're going to make mistakes. Just get up. Talk to whoever you got to talk to. Find somebody. If the person you talk to doesn't help you, don't give up on them. Pray for them and go find somebody else, because that's God's plan.
Yeah.
It's not meant for you to just try. It's meant for you to do it. You can do it. And get to somebody that will tell you. You can do it, and they'll help you. I told you Ephesians 6. I told you Proverbs. Psalm 46. We know who we are. Oh, and Psalm 16:6. Talks about the boundaries that we have, and that's a good thing, because God loves us. He loves us, and that helps me to persevere. I don't have to do everything all over the place, and I can't get, when you think about the things that you do, because I can't relate to being a disciple in college. I can relate to being young and being burdened by life and trying to figure out how to get what I think I'm working. And so that's where I'm talking from today. But when we know that God's got boundaries, when we know who we are in Christ, when we know that, it's a privilege to grow, that He loved us before we even knew who He was. When we think about all these things, it's encouraging to know that, there's a reason why. There's a reason why relationships are going to happen. Love the people around you the best way that you can.
Yeah.
Talk to God a lot about your disappointments and your failures.
Yeah.
Talk to God about your victories and encouragements.
Yeah.
Talk to God about how can you help somebody else. Always look with spiritual eyes. Put on your spiritual glasses and try to look and see, past what you think you see. Ask God to help you to see. I ask God to help me to see Jesus in spite of me, because I'm really nobody. But according to God, I was God, and I'm somebody because the Spirit lives in me, but it lives in you as well. So that's what I want to encourage you.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you that you are somebody. Remember who you are when you wake up tomorrow, if you wake up tomorrow, remember who you are. And then get up and do what you gotta do to be who you need to be.
Thank you.